That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love mutants. No, this is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again during this extended cigarette break. It's another Holmes Alone edition of the show J.D. Power & Associates calls What's That? We've Never Heard of It. It's Sunday, September 6, 2020, pretty sure. And my guests, I'm very sure, are Mike Carrozza, Trey Gallione, and Eliza Skinner. Hello!
Yay!
Yeah. I'm so excited.
I hope people can tell my voice apart from these other gals.
We love movies.
I love to have shows that are all ladies. This is another special edition.
Let's go, girls.
Let's meet individually and alphabetically, starting with out of Toronto. New album's called Cherubic or Cherubic, depending on what part of the world you're from. It's Mike Carrozza, everybody.
Hi, friends. This is so cool. Thanks for having me, Doug. I've been a longtime listener, and this is like one of the coolest things. I can't believe I get to be on Doug Loves Movies. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you because, you know, when these things happen, it's very rewarding to see. I saw a tweet this weekend. Your album is out there for people to purchase.
That's right.
And you tweeted something to the effect of my first album, whatever number of years ago that was. Sort of was the kind of one of your most more inspirational things in terms of getting into stand up. And so to just be able to then to read that tweet. And then just be able to go, hey, do you want to come on Doug Loves Movies? It just felt, it felt right.
Hell yeah, dude. I remember finding out about comedy albums and then just like downloading a really big torrent of like a terabyte worth of albums, and Professional Humor Reading was on there. And I remembered you from Last Comic Standing, where your Segway set was like the big deal for me. 'Cause I was like, this dude's making fun of stand up. What it like the form, he's like, it's a little wink to the judges and everything, this rules. And then Professional Humor Reading is an album I listen to like every car drive to and from school when I was just starting CJIP, and was getting into the idea of like, oh, I mean, I'm toying with maybe performing. And then I heard you just having like the most fun. At one point you just like have a piano near you and you're like slapping it and doing the Pelican Brief thing, and it just sounded like the most fun somebody could have, and I was like, okay, I need to try this. He's having the blast. If this is a real job, I need to, like, I gotta try my hand at it.
I'm glad that the general fucking around that I do was inspirational.
Oh, I mean, there were obviously other bits on the album that are like, you know, solid jokes that I really enjoyed, but definitely you enjoying yourself while you're performing is what got me to be like, I'm going to call somebody and see what it takes to start comedy. So I was really stoked and felt like maybe I should tell you about it. And now look at me, I'm here.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, if you're a terrible guest today, well, oh well, I gave it a shot, but I have a good feeling about it. And, we have lots of mutual friends. I mean, that's how comedy works, but it's just interesting to be, for me to be not terribly familiar with you. I have met you before.
Right. We've met in like a Just for Laughs, and I think I told you the same thing about how I started comedy.
Maybe you're the one. Like I keep thinking I've got a lot of people I've inspired.
I'm the one that keeps bringing up Professional Humoridian. It's me.
I'm definitely going to check out your album. Thank you for sending me a link. I didn't want to
listen to
it before this show because, you know, what if I did dislike it? That would really be awkward.
Yeah. You don't want to listen to somebody's comedy before you have to riff with them, just in case that colors your interaction with them. Because how are you going to respect somebody you don't find funny? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that brings us to Trey Gallion.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Hey, I'm going to kiss your ass way less than Mike did, for sure.
What kind of shit is going on with your hair right now? You've did some interesting things with your hair during this, haven't you?
Yeah, it's still mohawked right now. It kind of got stuck in the mohawk because my roommate's been doing it, and that's like the one style she knows how to do. So,
yeah, I imagine it's a style everybody knows how to do. You just leave some in the middle.
Yeah, it's the easiest one. So, yeah, and we've been letting the middle grow a ways. So it's pretty gnarly right now. Like, it's pretty much hat all the time. Like
one of them Trojan guards or something?
Yeah, totally. But my hair is so curly. Like, if I try to put product in it to get it to stand up, it just curls right back up.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's pretty useless. So a lot of hats, but, you know.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm keeping it, damn it.
How's Brooklyn treating you?
Good, man. Getting out here and there. Went and did some acid with friend of the show, Justin Thompson, in the park the other day. That was fun. Yeah. You know, freaked out a little, hung out in the trees, you know, listened to some jazz on the water, all sorts of cool stuff.
What, are you and Justin like close enough that you don't have to mask up when you're together? Or did you have masks on for this?
Oh, I mean, we masked up until we got around each other and then it was right? Cool.
It's like dogs, you just sniff each other's butts and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, man. Like, you got a fever? You got a fever? Nah. All right, want to hit this joint?
Let's go. It's like a gathering of doctors.
Yeah, man. Haven't we all become medical professionals during this? I've got 3 degrees.
Well, a lot of people have been seriously not terribly productive because of all of this, but our third guest today is such a big weekend for you, I should say. First of all, it's Eliza Skinner.
Yay!
Hi. You have an album out and a TV show that you wrote. It's on Disney Plus called Earth to Ned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I get them. I switch them around sometimes. It could really go either way.
Yeah, I'm just glad that they didn't make us call it Better Off Ned. That was floated. it's a weirdly huge weekend for me, which has been hard to promote both of those things, especially the state of the world. Like, it's hard for me to be like, hey, buy my album, but also like, buy my album, watch my show. Oh, and give frozen water to unhoused people. Like, what are my priorities here? This is not okay.
I think all of those things, I think it's good that you're doing all of that. I think people that kind of lay low and don't promote their stuff is just like, well, then the people who would be whose lives would be made a little bit better by your comedy are, you know, going to not be aware of it. You know, like, I just think putting it out there that it's an option, you know, just not being too, too forceful about it.
Yeah.
Is well, fine. But that's that's what I've been doing, is when I see that someone that's a friend of mine in comedy has an album or a thing coming out now, because they're so awkward about promoting.
You're like, I can help.
I like to reach out and say, just come on Doug Loves Movies then, because we could just sit here and talk about it all we want.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as we're acknowledging that it's also very crass to promote at this time.
Yeah. Well, I also had, with both projects, had a lot of really great people help me with them. So I feel like a real responsibility to get all of their work out
there. Yeah, exactly.
Too.
I mean, you know, Earth to Ned needs another season.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. They only, we actually shot 20 episodes and they just put out 10. So if people really like it, hopefully they'll put the other 10 out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Well, I watched the Andy Richter one and then pieces of others. We were particularly interested in the episode where the dog groomer who we actually know, Jess Rona, was not only on the show, but very good at acting and interacting with the Muppetry. Mm-hmm. And, we sought that episode out to see her, and it was, but the show is, it's extremely entertaining because you're obviously wants to be inclusive in terms of the audience. So it's not like one of those things where it's like an adult puppet show, but it's also not for kids.
Yeah, it's really a co-viewing for everybody thing. When I first got brought on, it was supposed to be for adults, supposed to be like real edgy and for adults. And then they were like, wait, kids like puppets. They're gonna wanna watch this no matter what. So we should make this for everybody. And then Disney kind of pushed even more to be like, yeah, this should be co-viewing. Everyone can be in the room. And just the point of view of the aliens lent itself to that really well. Like what would an outsider think of humans and what kind of questions would they have? And I ended up like my goal for it kind of settled on, okay, ideally I would like to make a show for that helps create another generation of weird kids who aren't scared to ask questions and give stoners something to watch. Like,
it's basically like it's a new and, you know, visually much more spectacular space ghost coast to coast.
Yes, it definitely has some similarities with that. It's nice that we actually get the guests in the studio since.
Yeah. They couldn't F with them per se. It's not to make the guests look silly, which they did a lot on Space Ghost.
Yeah. No, we, but also on the other side of it, I've worked in so many talk shows and like celebrity driven shows that I was really over that world and over the whole promoting famous people just because they're famous kind of stuff. And I liked that this show gave us a chance to ask celebrities to give us their wisdom as humans. Just like, hey, what is something that you know that you only know because you're just a human? So you've experienced these things that these aliens haven't, rather than what kind of on-set pranks did George Clooney play? Which I'm like, I don't know if I need to include more of that in the world.
Yeah, and every talk show interview is immediately dated because of all the, you know, specific references to what was being promoted at the time. And yeah, that's the other thing about this is an ageless talk show because it's just about people and aliens.
Yeah, it's only dated because they're not wearing masks. But besides that.
I mean, the way you describe the show is like, it's really selling me on it because I'm not a big puppet guy. They kind of freak me out, but I texted my roommate about his Disney Plus login so I can watch it.
Oh, good.
This guest list looks amazing. And I mean, it sounds great. It sounds like fun.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I made sure to include in the show from the very get was that they are creeped out by puppets also. Ned has a real problem with puppets. He's like, that's gross. I don't understand why anybody would ever watch that. But yeah, we got really great guests, a lot of people that I think anybody who listens to this show is familiar with. Like on I was proud that on our comedy episode, our comedy experts are Paul Scheer, Kristen Schaal, and Maria Bamford. Like, yeah, that's who I teaching an alien what humor is.
Well, I love puppets, so I'm totally going to watch it.
Cool.
Yeah, like I have sex with puppets.
Oh, wait.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, exactly. Like so many things to... So puppets are nearby while you're having sex?
No, like I'm having sex with
love to the puppets.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's a pretty wide... that's a big scale.
I mean, that's
here.
Tough. I guess puppets can consent if you are the one puppeteering.
Exactly. It. And it's already got the hole. It's right there.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, a lot of things have holes.
No, right. True. But it seems kind of perfect with a puppet. Look, man.
I mean, if it's a puppet you care about, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it can feel perfect, I suppose. I imagine.
Yeah.
So from people who fuck puppets to people who are creeped out by them, Earth-Net is for
something
you.
Something for everyone.
Victimless crime, everybody. It's a victimless crime.
Great. I would really like, you know, Disney Plus to appreciate the promotional work I'm doing.
Oh, right.
Damn it. And you're all like,
I have Disney Plus. I'll watch it.
I want to put my dick in it.
Yeah, I apologize.
It's okay.
Look, man, some people are going to have some hard conversations with their kids.
Hey, for sure, this is going to be some sort of puppet version of Robin Hood when it created a whole subculture of people who were in love with animated animals.
Are you excited for like, you know, when Comic-Con gets back to normal, there'll probably be like people in sexy Earth to bed.
I hope so. That would be great. I would love to see people in like, see people dressed up like Betty, because I kept wanting to do different things with showing what the rest of her electronic body would be. Since she's just a big floating face. But yeah, the whole time I was working on this, I was like, this is what we can do is for integration for Comic-Con. Everybody's like, that's not the important thing. And I'm like, for you, it's not, but I definitely want an Earth-to-Ned food truck. Yes, I do. Everyone will come up and get mugs of mayonnaise and all their favorite Ned treats.
Good to eat, humans? We don't know. We're just winging it from back here.
Yeah. We did a food episode. That one's not out yet, though. So. But our musical episode is the 10th episode that was released with this group. And I was really excited and proud of that because I got to write all the songs for it. And the guys I wrote the songs for that episode with also helped me with the songs on my album Regarding My Lovers, which also came out this week.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
That all tied together so nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Well, thank you to all three of you for being here today. And,
thank you, Doug.
Interrupting your camping trips, because I'm sure you all went camping for Labor Day weekend.
It's so beautiful out. Why would we not?
Right.
Yeah. I got to do a couple of pieces of business here, starting with the from the corrections department. We haven't bothered them in a while, but last week I said that this guy, Matt Schultz, was, I said he was in Fast Five. He was in Fast Five. I said he wasn't. And then maybe he was in Fast Six, but not 7 and 8. So that's, I'm glad that's sort of cleared up. And then now it's time for my weekend box office report. I report the BO results and my guests show off their easy and charming report. Movies are in theaters. It's happening. There's theaters that are open. They're not in New York City or Los Angeles. What's the Toronto scene like with the moving picture shows, Mike?
A friend of mine went to see Tenet this week, and they're open,
season, right?
Yeah. Well, apparently they only let, like, I think it was like 30 people into the whole IMAX room, which can seat a ridiculous amount of people. So folks just had all the space to themselves. And he said it was one of the best viewing experiences he's ever had. And this is a guy who like doesn't go a week without going to the movies normally. So this last, since March, it's been really painful for him. And the moment they opened, he was just like, I got to see Tenet. Don't care what movie I'm seeing, but I'm going to go see that one. And he was like delighted by it. He loved it. And said that he hopes that they get to stay this way, which is I hope they don't, but I think he really, really enjoyed having his space and having so few people in that room with him.
Yeah, it's tough to keep it staying that way, though, because, you know, you can't tell a business, hey, don't sell seats, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's empty. It's kind of a tough request if you know, once they're allowed to let people in. But,
oh yeah,
you know, I don't want to watch a movie with a mask on my face is where I'm drawing a line currently. Like, I'd rather just go to a drive-in and sit in my car.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big snack guy, too, so I'm like, what are you going to do? You're going to pop the snacks into the mask, or you're going to go under the mask? You're going to take it off every time? It's too much to think about. Don't pull me out of this movie.
A lot of unnecessary business. But so Tenet managed to make, because also Christopher Nolan just would not even let it play on in drive-ins. Like, these are all actual screens. 2,800 screens had Tenet, and it made $20 million, which is, you know.
Whoa.
Especially for the first weekend of September, that's not a terrible opening. Usually the first weekend of September, everybody, you know, goes on, Labor Day weekend trips, and they don't go to movies at all. It's like one of the slowest weekends at the box office. So,
I mean, and then not to mention the state of the world. Wow.
They've also made, Tenet's made like $53 million already around the world, because there's, you know, lots of territories where, theaters are open. Last week's number one, The New Mutants, was on almost as many screens as Tenet and only made 2.8 million. So it's really coming down to people making the choice of, you know, what's worth taking the risk for, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not visiting your family in either case.
Yeah. Last week's number two, Unhinged, with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe is the title action. He brought in 1.6 million on 2,400 screens. So, like, clearly not only is there social distancing inside these theaters, but people are also not going to some of these films. So if you want to see a movie in a theater, I recommend New Mutants or Unhinged, because, you know, there's a better chance to be in there alone.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed out that that Christopher Nolan didn't want it at drive-ins.
Same.
Like, I mean, I get it that it's not the ideal.
Because he knows the truth, man. He knows this COVID thing is just a ploy to back the drive-in film business. And he's not going to support that. And you know what? I stand behind him.
I don't know if I trust a movie guy who's like, I don't like drive-ins. Like, what? Come on.
Because he knows the real truth. That's why.
Yeah, and the sound is so much better at drive-ins these days, because you can, you know, listen to it
through your radio. Yeah.
If you have good speakers, you could actually have kind of a surround sound experience. It is a little, like, I saw a movie at a drive-in a week or two ago, and it was one where, like, you know, like a train would go directly by, and, and like beyond the theater, other businesses are like open with really bright lights on. So, like, it wasn't the optimal way, you know, to look at a movie. But it's still a fun way to go to the movies, especially.
Yeah,
drive-ins are pretty rare.
I mean, it may be one of the only bits of Americana that I'm like, I'll stand by drive-in movies.
Yeah.
That I can still be like, hey, this is pretty cool. You make out inside your car, you get to see RoboCop.
Yeah.
What's not to love?
It's like a private showing, but, you know, other people are doing it too. I feel like maybe, does Christopher Nolan just think people don't wash their windshield so well, and then he's bummed? Like, that's what he's going for?
Yeah, he doesn't want to have, you know, he's got all these cool visuals, and they don't include, like, you know, dead gnats.
Yeah. We didn't spend all this money for somebody's bird shit on their window to ruin their experience.
Yeah, maybe
yeah,
you put
this
in
is
a
my
lot
art,
of,
man.
Put in a lot of CGI gnats into the film, and was like,
what a prank.
I want you to love the artistry.
That would be a hell of a prank.
Yeah, out of spite, you just have like a windshield filter that you put over the whole movie.
I saw the Tenet drive-in cut. Really buggy.
Yeah, a lot of breaks for ads for the concession stand, but
kick on the wipers by accident every once in a while.
You know how the posters for Tenet show kind of like it looks like there's sort of like a upside down world or something? Like a kind of a ongoing alternate timeline or something like that. I swear around Los Angeles, when I drive by the billboards, somebody's been going around and putting a mask on the face.
Oh.
The under part.
That's kind of cool.
Almost insinuating Christopher Nolan is onto something here, that like there's people who wear masks and people who don't wear masks, and they're living, they're going to have separate societies that run, concurrently next to each other.
Right. Okay. So like a more peaceful version than the Elysium that we seem to be barreling towards.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. Tenet is going to be, that without without the death count.
Mm-hmm.
But cool. I have mixed feelings about Chris Nolan movies. I think they tend to be kind of lacking in heart. And I think he also has heard that so much from people that he's saying, oh yeah, you think my movies don't have heart? I'll show you no heart. and he just makes an even colder experience the next time out,
Yeah, man.
Just calculated spite on the screen.
Yeah, it's a very powerful thing.
I hope that's what he's doing. Because if he's like, this one's going to be real, so much heart, and then it's like, no, buddy, you missed the mark even worse.
I feel like he's putting heart into them. Like, Inception, at its core, is supposed to be a romance, and I do not care at all
if
those two end up together.
I mean, even at the end, you're like, is it happening? Is it really what? Oh, now we're staring at the totem. You don't know. So it's kind of like it's a sad ending, but it's supposed to be the romance at the core. I don't know. He's a visually love the stuff he's put out, but I'm not reaching in there for the emotional elements to it.
The best part of his Batman stuff was the refusal to have an emotional element with the Joker, right?
Yeah.
Boo-hoo, I'm sad. Never mind. No, I'm not. You don't even know. I'm like, that's what he's working with. Okay, cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that like, I feel like Christopher Nolan lucked out that Heath Ledger had that performance worked out. Mm-hmm. I don't think Christopher Nolan gave him any tips on how to behave that way.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't think that proper British guy was like...
No, but like when it's
that performance was not because of great directing. No.
No.
Could you lick your lips more, please?
Yeah. I'm just saying that like when that's the direction it's meant to go anyway, that's when it works. Mm-hmm. When it's supposed to be lack of emotion.
Mm.
It's like, okay, you're not getting in the way then.
Let's play some games, you guys. That's when I get people together, like a person like Trey with his deep amount of knowledge of cinema.
You guys are in trouble.
That he is.
I mean,
without.
I'm one of these guys that's listened to it in the car and been like, it's so easy. And then the moment I play these games with friends, I'm like, I don't remember what movies are. Is every answer Mean Girls twice?
Yeah, I've never seen a movie, so this is going to be tough for me.
Yeah, you got to have your go-tos, I have my go-tos for sure. So maybe one of those will pop out today.
I think Eliza's been replaced by an alien. And she's and the alien is trying to pretend to be her and fit in.
Yep, that's what's going to happen to everybody soon. Get used to it.
Wait, do you get to do any of the puppet voices?
I do. I play there's a character that's in a couple episodes called the Roaster Toaster. It's a small toaster that delivers roast jokes.
Oh, nice. Can't wait.
Yep.
Does it have, what's the bread situation? Is it toasting while
doing an empty toaster? There's no bread. It's an alien creation, so they probably didn't even realize that humans have anything that's at all similar. This is just, you press down the lever, and then it lights up and says something mean about your dad.
And then the toast doesn't pop up after you deliver the zinger?
Nope, no toast. They don't eat toast. So,
Or like a bagel if it's a Jewish joke or something. Nothing.
No.
A Danish.
Nothing. No.
Pop-tart.
Not a single one.
It pops up like five cockroaches that all go like, oh shit. You know,
like, yeah, it's a New York toaster. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That is a little too close to home.
Sorry. Hey,
we're just trying to you live in a 100-year-old building.
You just gotta to watch the show tray because it's got all of its own set of rules, and you can ask questions all day, but once you watch it, you'll get it.
Yeah, oh, I'm totally exactly. gonna watch it. Don't worry, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I got it queued up right now. I'm stoked to take a look at this.
I'm one of those suckers that got Disney Plus for 2 years because I thought I'd be like watching it every day, and all I've done is I watched Hamilton and one episode of Jeff Goldblum talking about sneakers.
Oh yeah, that's
awesome. Oh yeah, that's a good show. I've been watching all the Star Wars.
Yeah, I watched The Mandalorian. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm surprised to hear that you're not watching so much on Disney Plus, Doug, because you're like famously the most into Disney. Like, don't you just love everything Disney?
I like the Disney parks more than their movies.
I see.
And also, I've seen all those movies, you know, and like with the streaming services, what I'm finding is that there's so much new stuff that I'm not as interested in going back and watching, like. Because also I know that a lot of the Disney stuff I liked when I was young would probably be seriously flawed to me now. Yeah. So it's kind of better to almost leave it in the vault and not revisit.
Word. Yes. I kind of agree with that.
I started watching Never Been Kissed on Disney Plus the other day and was like, no. Is this going to be okay? Oh, no. Oh, wow. They were treading a fine line here with a girl, a grown-up lady back in high school.
Yeah, it's really strange. Have you seen that? There's a show, a straight up show on Netflix called Pen 15.
Yes.
That's like adult actresses interacting with actual high school kids in a very real way.
Yeah, I don't know how I
feel about it.
I really like it because you can tell with that one that like, first of all, they're supposed to be kids. They're not supposed to be grown-ups. I just like that they have the range of emotions of their these adult women to portray the kids, but also they do a really good job of editing, and like I don't feel like any of the kid actors were put into creepy or weird situations in making it.
I've always seen a little bit of it, but I imagine that it could get rough. But it's like Bo Burnham's movie
Eighth grade
was like, it's amazing how realistic it is, and it doesn't pull any punches, but it also remains sensitive.
Yeah, I loved in Eighth Grade the moment where like you see how she sees him, and he's just like this cool kid and obviously like a preteen sex icon to her. And I feel like I've seen preteen girls shown that way in movies so many times by all these male filmmakers. You know, I mean, it was there was a lot of that, but I'd never seen a young girl looking at a young boy the way I did when I was young, where they should look like a cool DJ, even though they would look like a 10-year-old boy to anybody else. But to that girl, it's like, oh no, he is Tiger Beat. He for sure knows how to scratch on records and do skateboard tricks, and the world slows down around him. So I appreciated that he found a way to show that.
It's a good movie. I like it. The game we're going to play first today is called So Low Can You Go?
I might be good at this one.
I'll vote you alphabetically, starting with Mike. And I will tell you a fun fact, Mike, and you tell me if it's about Oscar-winning documentary Free Solo or Solo, a Star Wars story, or neither.
Okay.
And then if you miss, you know, then Trey gets a shot at the remaining two answers, and if he misses, then Eliza gets the lucky free point.
I don't miss. All right.
So one of you has 2 points. Starting with Mike, you ready?
I am. I'm shooting in the dark on this, but I'm ready. Let's do it.
You know, you haven't seen Free Solo or Solo, a Star Wars story?
I have not, but I like my intuition.
Okay. Free Solo, Solo, or neither features a vertical rock face called El Capitan.
Ooh, okay. Well, this sounds like it's got to be Free Solo, which is making me think it's Solo, but I'm going to say Free Solo.
That is correct.
Hell yeah, dude.
Nice job, Mike.
Your first question on Doug Loves Movies, and you got it right.
Man, I'm feeling great today.
Trey?
Well done. Yes, I'm here.
Free Solo or Solo, Star Wars Story, or neither.
Okay.
Had two directors.
Oh, no.
Two credited directors. What?
Neither.
You say neither?
Yeah.
That's incorrect.
Ooh.
Liza.
Yes.
Or Solo, a Star Wars Story. Which one had two credited directors?
Can I ask for a clarification?
Uh-huh.
Would a directing team be considered one director credit?
No, that'd be two directors.
Okay, I'm going to say Free Solo then.
Was directed by a team. That is correct.
Yes. Nice. Yes. That was a tricky one. That was a tricky one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get harder. Are you ready, Mike?
I'm stoked. Let's do it.
Free Solo, Solo, a Star Wars Story, or neither. Some of it was shot with iPhones.
Free Solo might be, I'm going to say neither.
You didn't fall for my little trick. Neither is correct.
Fuck yeah, dude. I knew it. I've been listening a long time.
Mountain climbing, they must have to have small cameras.
Yeah, I thought that, and then I thought, you know what? Doug set me up, baby.
No, they use the real shit. It's crazy.
Hell yeah.
All right, so Trey, let me try. Let's get
this. Feels like a setup, man. Was there a round of emails that I wasn't privy to? All right.
You mean like I tell people the answers or something?
Hey, man, look, it's your show, you know?
Trey.
Yeah.
63% on Rotten Tomatoes. Free Solo, Solo, Star Wars Story, or neither?
Oh.
Wow. I'm going to say Solo.
Incorrect.
Oh my god.
What do you think, Eliza?
I think
one got 63%. Free Solo?
Neither.
Neither. Your guess is neither?
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, buddy.
Documentaries so always get game. High.
And it's yeah. Star Wars, so they go high on those for sure too.
Yeah, Free Solo got a 97%.
Of course. Wow. Documentaries always get rated pretty high.
Yeah, but Star Wars movies, you got a 50-50 nowadays.
Yeah, but
there's so many people that don't like the... Well, I don't know.
I have a theory about if a documentary makes it into theaters, it was such an uphill battle for, you know, a nonfiction film to even get there. That it has to have a story where the documentary filmmakers really got something of value, you know, that people can get excited about. So yeah, documentaries, you know, the ones you never see, those are the ones that would get shitty reviews. Because happens in them, you know.
I'm a fan of the audience score, especially for genre stuff, because I feel like the reviewers had to go see it whether they wanted to or not, and the audience went to go see it. Planning to like it, so
right.
they're already being a fan of the genre.
That's the thing, is they're going in with a much more positive attitude, and it's, you know, and it's based usually on like opening night is when they get the score. Mm-hmm. So like it's the people that they drop everything and see that movie that day, that's their level of enthusiasm. So then when it gets a bad score, it's like, oh man, that movie just completely did not hit the mark, you know.
Yeah, and I like Tyler Perry movies a lot, and the reviewers are like, this is garbage, but Tyler Perry fans are like, it's perfect. I dropped my drink. Yes. It's everything I want.
Yeah, man.
As a horror movie fan.
I dropped my drink. All right.
As someone who loves horror movies, it's always the same thing. Audience score is the way to go.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Trey?
Yeah, man, I'm ready. Wait, we're back to me already? All right.
I thought it was me. Eliza went.
You got another point, didn't you?
Eliza did.
Oh, Eliza did. Yeah, so Mike, yeah, you're right. Sorry, Trey.
Yeah, hey, man, that's cool.
Maybe I'll fuck it up and narrow it down.
I meant to email you about this.
You suck.
Okay, Mike, a song called Gravity plays during the end credits.
Oh, man. Can I ask a question? When did Free Solo come out?
What?
When did Free Solo come out?
Oh, gosh. Has it been 2 or 3 years, maybe?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, maybe they're like cheeky about it and putting John Mayer's Gravity in there. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say Free Solo. Live on the Edge here.
I don't know who sang it, but yes, there's a song by somebody called Gravity at the end of Free Solo.
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. Which, like, you know, I guess since the guy lived, it's fine, but can you imagine?
Yeah, they put an ode to the movie's villain, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Grizzly Man has Grizzly Teeth is the final song, right?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Chomping Grizzly Teeth. Sorry.
So
spoiler alert.
That means that Mike won that game. Congratulations, Mike.
Oh, hell yeah.
Way to go, Mike. Look at that.
Thank you very much.
Find out what you won after these commercial messages. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back.
Oh, man.
I told you it was fast. Mike,
yeah.
It was really good. So you get to go first in our final and all-determining game. This is going to decide who gets the bragging rights today of being the winner. There's no prizes. There's just pride at stake.
That's more valuable than any prize.
Right?
Yeah.
Trey, have you played this game yet? It's called Weird Algorithm.
That doesn't sound familiar at all. Damn it.
You're gonna love it. On the IMDb site and app, they've got a thing now where if you go to the full cast list of any project, any movie or TV show, you can click on a thing to refine the list based on popularity according to IMDb and their massive amounts of data that they get from people using it. So it's very tricky reordering the cast based on who's most popular today from classic movies of the past. So I'll name a movie, and then each one of you gets to name, and you can share answers on this. You could talk about, you know, just everybody has to finally decide on an answer. And if your answer, if the person that you name, if they're the top billed person in the movie, you get 3 points, second billed 2. Third point one, we'll play 3 rounds. Everyone will get a chance to go first because we rotate who goes first.
So
we're
so it's cast list based on popularity.
Yeah, popularity according to IMDb's weird algorithm, because it
data they've mined from us that we haven't been paid for.
I'm just trying to tell you, Trey, that I've come up with a game where anybody can win.
So it's current popularity.
I think
is what
you've tried this before, and I prove you wrong every time.
Oh no!
But hey, man, I'm game. Let's do this.
Any one of the three of you can win. I think we will.
So, but it's
one of those three at this time. You have a chance.
We're trying to guess current popularity of
popularity, like according to IMDb today.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so they might have been a teeny tiny part, but we love them now.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I feel like I've already won because I'm hanging out with some pals. It's a pretty good day. All right, guys, let's have some fun.
Oh, what an attitude!
Ass kisser, entire episode.
Hey, welcome to the brand, baby.
Hey man, love it. Good on you, Mikey.
Yeah, man. Calling him Mikey.
Huh? Yeah, bring it. I'm big time, Mikey. You got it.
The name Trey, you can't do that. You can't. Trey E just sounds stupid.
It does, yeah.
Eliza E.
Yeah, I think it's like people lock up when they try to throw something on the end of mine. It's just like Trey. Hey, yeah.
Nothing. Trey Long, down y'all.
Yeah. Here we go. Trey.
Megan Trainor.
Okay. I was thinking Trey Guy, but I don't know if that makes any sense. I just was like, hey, Trey Guy. That's
Trailer Park, yeah.
Oh.
Okay, all right.
Do you get points for that? Did that do anything for my score?
No points.
Damn. Oh. Okay.
If it makes you feel any better, if you got points on mine and I don't have a system, you guys all get points. Doug,
yeah,
Ryan,
too far.
Got him.
It's going.
Mike
it's going. Too far.
Oh no.
Mike Carrozza. The film in question is, oh, look at this. Solo, a Star Wars story.
Oh boy. Okay.
Who do you think from that cast? If you have trouble remembering any particular names, just ask. But who do you think would be the most popular right now?
So, as someone who has not seen the movie, and frankly, I'm not a big Star Wars guy myself, but I have to guess this is the one that Harrison Ford came back for. This is the one.
No, this is the prequel before all the other Star Wars movies of the first time Han Solo and Chewbacca met each other, and when they were hanging out with Lando Calrissian and playing card games for the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, I see. And is this the one where they had the Carrie Fisher hologram in?
No, this is the one where it takes place before all the other Star Wars.
I see. Oh, I mean, I don't know the timeline on these things.
These are stalling techniques.
Yeah. 100% stalling. I'm going to say Adam Driver because you know he's involved with this franchise.
All right, so you'll be able to change your answer later because that's a ridiculous answer. All right, so let's go to Trey. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's got to be Danny Glover, right?
You mean Donald?
Kidding, it's Donald Glover, yeah.
You were kidding? That's your choice to sound like a racist white fool?
No!
Okay, so you're going DG?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what do you think, Eliza?
Well, since he picked Donald Glover, I guess I'm going to go with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh,
sounds like I didn't get it.
You can also share answers, so you could go Donald Glover if you think the points are going to be there.
Oh, interesting. I see what you're doing here.
Okay, well then, yeah, I'm gonna jump on board with Donald Glover.
You go, Glover. All right, what do you think, Mike? Are you going to lock in with Adam Driver?
Oh, no. You called that a stupid answer, and I'm going to say no.
I did?
Yeah. Oh, somebody did.
I remember that.
You know what? We're going teamwork on this guy. Donald Glover, lock it in, baby.
You know, the thing I love about Alex Trebek is he tells the contestants when they're stupid, like with just with an eyebrow.
Do you remember that clip of him calling somebody a loser?
Oh, really? That happened?
Yeah, somebody described, he was like doing that thing before the second segment where he's interviewing them, like, hey, what do you like to do? Or like, he's got this set interview, and then somebody's like, well, I do LARPing, and LARPing is this and that. And he's like, so in other words, a loser. And then that was a big sting.
Oh, no.
Before he went back to the podium.
I think he did. Didn't he do that for someone who said they like nerdcore rapping also?
Oh, that must have been it. I you know what? I must have substituted nerdcore rap for LARPing.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
It feels like Alex is so knowledgeable that he would definitely make fun of anything that he hasn't heard of.
Like, if it's out of his scope, it's meaningless.
Exactly.
What if in all the years he's hosted that show, he's learned nothing? Like, he hasn't retained any facts. He's just like, I just read them, baby. I don't know what a garbage can is. I don't know what Tibet is.
That would be tough, because there are so many garbage can questions. answers.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I watch Jeopardy sometimes.
Yeah, I get it. Clearly.
Well, I've got some bad news, because the results from this one are strange indeed. Coming in at number 9, I don't always go this deep, but I found it interesting that listed number 9 is the guy who plays Han Solo in Solo. Star Wars Story.
Not much of a launching pad, huh?
Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich, which is...
He must have been a real dick, you know?
I mean, I don't know.
Why?
To not get any more work off of being in the Han Solo project.
Nobody liked the Han Solo project.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good.
Okay, you liked the Han Solo project, but that was about it.
I haven't heard this guy's name once in my life.
They're going to make a younger Lando with Donald Glover TV series for
DC. Oh.
So I'm looking forward to that, because I thought he was a good choice for Lando in the Solo movie.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't give him much of interest to do.
Yeah.
But he came in at number 8.
You got it, kids.
Oh, wow.
No, crazy. 7 is Ray Park. 6 is Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, you would have won with that.
Damn it.
Bettany. 4th is Thandi Newton. 3rd was Jon Favreau, who does a voice in the...
What?
Yeah, number 2, Woody Harrelson, and number one, the female protagonist of the film, played by Emilia Clarke.
Yes, from Last Christmas. I remember that girl.
Wow.
That girl from Last Christmas. She was also on some HBO thing, but Last Christmas is really going to be her legacy.
Yeah. Was it Real Sex or something? Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's Last Christmas.
Did you see Last Christmas?
I did.
No.
Could you please share with us? Because people have, I've heard, but critics hold back on this sort of information. The twist at the end is supposedly quite silly. Is that true?
No, I mean, I don't know that it's quite silly. It's not a romantic twist.
Oh, it's a sad ending.
Yeah, like it's just not quite. Yeah, I don't know, because I don't want to spoil
a movie that's going to have a very happy ending, and then apparently it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Like, I mean, and that straight up from the beginning. It has a happy ending if it's like, hey, this character has been improved, and she will probably go on and have a better life than she did at the beginning of the movie. But it does not get all tied up the way that. Generally that type of movie, if it was like on Hallmark, you would expect it to get tired.
All right. Some review I read really led me astray that it there was a movie a few years back, like where one character, at the end just turns out to be a ghost, and it's the most arbitrary.
Oh, no.
A ghost through this whole movie.
I will say the one thing this is not is arbitrary. They work very hard to make the twist not arbitrary.
Okay. Hey, are you ready to go? Everybody's got 0. We got 2 more rounds.
Oh my gosh. All right.
I mean, I'm looking forward to more teamwork, guys. Thank you so much for letting me piggyback on some of these choices.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Glad to let you down.
No, hey, I'm not, that wasn't a dig. I'm genuinely I'm glad I get to work on it because I did not know anyone in that movie.
You're
now
losing
it sounds like I'm defending myself.
All episode long. Yeah.
Okay. Do I need to turn on the camera and flip some birds for you guys?
I imagine that if you did that, it would be some sort of adorable little like bird toy that you're like, see, look, I see this guy. I am a cutie pie. So
you caught me. I was just going to do a magic trick.
Close up magic because I really like that.
Yeah, dude.
All right, here we go. Trey.
No cards, only coins. Okay, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. The film, Trey, is tell me who you think in the cast of Free Solo. I'm just kidding.
The Mountain.
Hell yeah.
El Capitan.
How about the film Free Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri?
Oh.
Make that Three Billboards. What do you think, Trey? Do you remember the cast of that award-winning film?
Yeah, wasn't Woody Harrelson in that one, too?
Oh, interesting. Was he?
Yeah, wasn't he the sheriff?
Yeah, is that your answer?
Yeah, man.
You're going Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, clearly. Right. I'm going to go Woody Harrelson.
Okay, Eliza?
It does sound like this algorithm is skewed towards Woody Harrelson, but I feel like people love Frances McDormand, so I'm going to go with Frances McDormand.
True. Oh, that's a fair one.
What do you think, Mike?
Oh, I was going to say Frances McDormand, too, but Woody Harrelson being the common thread between the movies feels like I might lean that way. But Frances McDormand fans are just, you know what? I'm strategy over heart. It's Woody Harrelson. Let's do that.
Okay, so you've got Woody. What do you think, Trey? You locked in?
Childish Gambino? Can I change my answer to Childish Gambino?
You can.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Woody Harrelson, man.
Okay, two Woodies and Frances McDormand for Eliza, and it's shocking. She won the Best Actress trophy for the film, and yet somehow Frances McDormand comes in all the way down at number 8.
What?
Wild. I know. Wild.
It's very unfair. 7 was Peter Dinklage, who appears in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll jump
Game of Thrones
to number 3 to save some time. Number 3, worth some points, is Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
So Mike and Trey are both on the board with 1 point apiece. And number 2 is Sam Rockwell.
Fuck.
Yeah.
What?
And then, he won an Oscar for that as well.
Yeah,
and
but
then, wild.
And then number 1.
He was great in that. He was, oh, yeah.
Number 1, Samara Weaving.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hugo Weaving's very successful actress daughter must have done something recently. She was on that show, Hollywood, and she's going to be in something else.
Bill and Ted? Is she
she's in Bill and Ted right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill and Ted faced the
Yeah, and she was also in Ready or Not, which had like a big cult boom, I guess, because people seem to really like that one.
Horror movie. All right, we got one more round, you three.
Oh, yeah.
And, two of you are in the lead with only 1 point, so it's still anybody's game.
Solid.
And, Eliza gets to go first this round. We're going to discuss the performers, actors and actresses that make up the cast of 3 Men and a Baby.
Oh, wow.
No.
They're doing a remake. They're rebooting it with like the Jonas Brothers or some shit.
Yeah, but like, is that baby famous now or something? Yeah, damn it.
Oh, That's my first thought.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that if the baby grew up to be.
Wow.
The baby is Justin Bieber.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm going to get fucked on this.
That baby was Adam Driver. And now who's making a stupid call, huh?
Okay, I'm going to go with Ted Danson just because I feel like he's still working the most of the 3 Men, and I don't know the name of the baby, so.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So Ted Danson.
I mean, Ted Danson's the only guy I can remember from this that, and that should be an indication to me. So I'm also saying Ted Danson.
Yeah, but can I interest you in a reverse mortgage?
A Steve Guttenberg, a Tom Selleck.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
What do you think, Trey?
Ooh. Tom Selleck. Seems like he's been in something recently.
Hasn't he been on Blue Bloods forever?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Tom Selleck.
I just see him every day when I'm watching my game shows. I see him come on and insist that, you know.
Yeah, man.
This isn't my first rodeo. A reverse mortgage doesn't, it's not trying to take your home.
Bubble? What bubble?
It's not trying to take your home. It's just putting your home up for us to take it if it goes that way.
So and we bad. Trust you, Tom Selleck. We love you so much.
Why does he need more money? He's just an old guy. All he needs is mustache wax and a nice place to lay his head.
There was a trade for some sort of like a facial hair immortality to that. He's never going to lose that stash.
Oh, whatever. He's trying to scam old people. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are we all locked in on our final answers for Three Men and a Baby?
Wait. What was
Eliza gets to switch it if she wants, yeah.
I think we had
Tom Selleck.
Two Ted Dansons and a Tom Selleck.
Two Ted Dansons and a Tom Selleck.
That's an order at a bar.
I'm gonna move to Selleck. Fuck, I'm gonna kick myself for this.
Yeah, you
I'm
are.
Moving to Selleck.
Oh, big move. Like it.
Okay. So we
got Trey and Eliza are both going Selleck and yeah. Mike is going to stick with Ted Danson as fast.
He had those CSI years. Let's do it, Danson. Come on, baby.
It's going to be somebody like I'm forgetting, like the mom of the baby is going to be somebody that's famous now or some shit.
Yeah. Natasha Lyonne was in this as a child.
Oh.
It is, it's got some interesting results. I'll go all the way down to number five just to give him a nice plug. Our friend Dave Foley.
Nice.
Apparently appears in that film as grocery store clerk.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I had no idea. I never knew about that. I knew about like the ghost in that one scene, but I didn't know that Dave Foley was in it.
The kids in the grocery store, huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind.
No, that was great. No, I was on board.
Number four is Ted Danson.
Man. Yeah. Okay. I'm really thought the CSI bump would help.
Your hopes and dreams of winning your first Douglas movies have been dashed.
Dude, how he didn't win an Emmy every year for Cheers is anyway.
He won a few times, though, didn't he?
He won, I think, two, maybe at most two.
I believe he asked them to stop nominating him because he had won so much, and he was like, come on, let's not be weird about this.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy because the Emmys would get crazy with sometimes they give the same person an award like 5 years in a row.
Dude, he was so good in that show.
He was. He's a good actor.
He just seems really cool.
Yeah. I like
number
him.
Three
yeah.
is the actress who played the mother of the baby, Three Men and a Baby, Nancy Travis.
Ah, see, so I was okay. She did come in at number three.
Yeah, she's currently having to play the love interest of both Michael Douglas and Tim Allen, so she's probably got a pretty sweet existence having to be the wife.
Oh, like on that Tim Allen sitcom. True.
I think she's the wife on Last Man Standing, and she's the girlfriend of Sandy Kaminsky in the Kaminsky Method.
Oh. Yeah, the sensible, age-appropriate one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, Last Man Standing is pretty much Home Improvement, but he's got daughters now or something, and he's older.
Yeah, and he's moved from one network to another, and I haven't paid much attention to it.
Word.
And Jonathan Taylor Thomas is the neighbor, but we don't see his face, so it's not.
Stop! Oh, I'm gonna watch at least an episode if that's true.
Fake news, Mike.
Pretty sure Jonathan Taylor Thomas has been on that show.
Oh, he has. Yeah, sounds like something.
I thought he removed himself from acting altogether, and that's why I was like, bring him back. He was such a heartthrob.
He did, and then he got into directing. He was trying to direct, I know, because when I was at Funny or Die, we had a meeting with him once.
No way.
It was one of those ones where they were like, here's Jonathan Taylor Thomas, except you can't pitch anything about him. And so we were like, okay.
Wow.
He just wanted to direct.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, good two. For him number after two, all these years.
Number two, coming in number two, it's Tom Selleck.
That's number two.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
2 points for Trey, 2 points for Liza.
Good the Trey for winner. Gutenberg. That's what I was thinking.
Steve Gutenberg pulls the win.
He's number one. And I was going to say Gutenberg, but was like, no way it's going to be way. Gutenberg.
I mean, his Bibles are still in every hotel room.
They are popular. It's best-selling book of all time.
Whenever there's one in the room, and then give it to somebody because that's the ideas you're supposed to pass it along, but nobody does that because they think it's stealing.
Oh, I always. Well,
and also because it probably has like jizz and stuff on them.
Oh yeah, I wipe them down good.
I think there's jizz on the Bible.
Away.
Some people love that.
Yeah,
shit,
that's why people go to hotels so they can jerk off on Bibles.
Yeah, without any reproach or judgment
at all. That's never been.
We are very different people, Trey.
Steve Gutenberg. I can only think that maybe he's number one because he's a judge on this silly miniature golf course show called Holy Moly.
That might do it.
Really, have we gotten that low in the in this quarantine that people have started watching that show?
That show is fucking hilarious because
I watched one episode.
It's mini golf plus people getting knocked into the water by weird moving objects.
It's no Floor is Lava. I'll tell you that.
Floor is Lava sucks. It's
whatever. Holy,
Rob Riggle is there at Holy Moly making jokes.
Yeah, he is.
Nobody's fine.
Oh, they got the Riggle factor. Yeah, you're pretty much screwed. Yeah, he's gonna pull in some people.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this up. This has been so much fun. Trey, of course, like I said, anyone could win, and he did.
That's amazing. Wow. Thank you, Doug, for finally coming up with a game that I can win.
Yeah, and I can't believe that you didn't get that email I sent you, and you still won.
Oh, my gosh. See, he's just planting seeds. This is horrible.
Let's do final plugs. Final plugs, starting with Eliza Skinner, a TV show, and a record.
Yes. The show is Earth to Ned, streaming on Disney Plus, and the record is Regarding My Lovers from A Special Thing, and it's music and comedy. So please listen.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for a musical episode of that show. That sounds super fun.
I'm going to watch your show, Eliza.
Mike.
Yes, sir. You can find me on social media.
One more time. Carroza.
Yes, sir. That's it. You can find me on social media at Mike Carroza, MikeCarrOzza on Twitter and Instagram. I have a podcast called Bummer Boys, X Bummer X Boys X. It's stylized like a bad hardcore band. You can check that out. We talk about music that made us sad that week. We've had some pretty fun guests on it. And then also my album Cherubic is out as of last Friday. Eliza and I both had albums come out the same day, and it made me smile to see them both pop up on iTunes, like right next to each other. And I'm already a big fan of Eliza's, and it's really cool. And everybody who's listened, thank you so much. And if you enjoy it, please let me know. If you don't, please don't be mean about it. I really can't handle that.
The album sucked.
Yeah, just whisper it into a pillow if you don't like our albums. Don't you? Tell us. We don't need that.
All they're gonna write back is, "I got your money."
If you see me in person and you want to tell me it sucks, that's fine. But yeah, just don't do it online.
Yeah.
What
in person?
Trey, do you have any plugs?
At Trey Gallion on Twitter and Instagram. And, for the few people in Knoxville, Tennessee, me and Jeff Tate are going to try to work out an outdoor show Thanksgiving week. We'll see what happens. But yeah, follow me for that. We'll
yeah,
see
definitely wait until it gets really cold before doing that.
Yeah, man, it'll be nice. We'll have a little bonfire going and stuff, and
sounds awesome.
DougLovesMovies.com
for what if I do end up having any tour dates or anything. I do have a live streaming show coming up on October 3rd. You go to rushticks.com to get into that. Thank you to all of my guests one more time. Appreciate
you,
Mike Carroza, Trey Gallion, and Eliza Skinner.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
As always, as you wish.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.